Hi guys, welcome to our podcast, A Court of Heaven and Hell. I'm Lauren, aka Heaven.
And I'm Ellie. I'm also known as Hell.
And we are a book podcast based on the top-selling novels by Sarah J. Maas, A Court of Thorns and Roses, Crescent City, and Throne of Glass. You can find our podcast on most major podcasting platforms, as well as our video on YouTube. And please feel free to email us and let us know if there's any that you want us to be on that you don't see yet. Please like, comment, and subscribe if you're on YouTube. And if you are listening on one of those podcast platforms, please rate and review. It really helps us grow. And we're still starting out and pretty small. And we just really want to grow this thing and our community. So please do that if you feel it in your heart.
All right, so the next Sarah J. Maas book coming out is House of Flame and Shadow. It is so anticipated. I am so excited. There's like, I don't know, how many days?
Like
It literally comes out in
16.
2 weeks.
Yeah, not even.
14 days. Oh my God. 14 days. Y'all, I'm so excited. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm sure everyone else is really excited about it too, but we want to go ahead and address some of the leaks that have come out recently. We just want to let you guys know that we have not seen the leaks. We're not going to look at them. So if you're concerned about hearing anything that is actually in the book that was leaked, we haven't seen it. You're good. You're safe here. Because I know I've been a little bit nervous scrolling on TikTok and Instagram. I don't
For
want
sure.
anything to be leaked for me. I would be really upset. And it just, the whole situation really sucks for everyone. So we're waiting until
Yeah.
January 30th to read the book. So you don't have to worry about that with us. Okay. This episode is going to be our Crescent City 3 theories video.
We're here. We did
Yes.
it. We made it.
This is what made us want to start this podcast, was talking about our theories, because that's all we talk about.
No, literally.
So this podcast is going to be a little bit different than our recap videos. It's going to be way less like structured. We're going to be basically just talking back and forth. We're going to have probably some theories that don't make sense, and we're going to have theories that actually make sense.
Yeah, we're just talking shit at this point, you
Yeah,
guys.
we're just
Like
having fun. And also, I'm going to go ahead and put out a content warning. We will be cussing. We will be talking about adult things. If you're not comfortable with that, then we're not the podcast for you. And we will be having our trigger warnings in our show notes. So, yeah.
period. All right. So, in addition to the content warnings, I want to go ahead and let you guys know that this episode is going to have major spoilers for all three series. Okay. That's Throne of Glass, ACOTAR, and Crescent City. Please be aware if you haven't already finished, our last two videos and you need a refresher, please feel free to go listen to those and then come back and join us for this one. There's definitely going to be a lot of things that we talked about that are going to be themes that come up in this one as well, but definitely spoilers. If you haven't read all of the books, I highly recommend you don't listen to this until you have, okay? If you are interested in hearing us talk about her other books, follow us for future episodes where we're going to be talking about our next and eventually Throne of Glass as well. Today is mostly just our theories for CC3, but obviously, if you know, there's going to be some tie in there. So if you're not caught up, now's your chance to exit. We love you guys, but come back when you are, okay?
We want to start this out by talking about the crossovers that we have gotten so far. The first one was in Kingdom of Ash, and it is when Aelin is closing the Word Gate and she starts to fall through different worlds, basically. And this is chapter 99, and it says, she passed through a world of snow-capped mountains under shining stars. Passed over one of those mountains where a winged male stood beside a heavily pregnant female gazing at those very stars. And then also, she passed through a world where a great city had been built along the curve of a river, the buildings impossibly tall and glimming with lights. Obviously, that's Brightsand, Feyre, and Crescent City. And I love that we know that the female is pregnant, because that gives us a little bit more of a timeline. So she was falling through these worlds at the time of Frost and Starlight.
Silver
right?
flames.
No.
Flames. Nobody
Oh, silver
knows that.
flames. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're silver
Nobody.
flames.
Yeah. I was like, nobody knows that Feyre's pregnant yet. But yeah.
That's, yeah, okay. Yeah, and silver flames. So that's interesting. So in Crescent City, the other confirmed crossover we get is Bryce is running through a portal to get away from the Asteri. And she's trying to get to hell, but she actually doesn't end up in hell that we know of. And she ends up meeting a bunch of people, and one of them says, "My name is Rysan." So yeah, it's happening. And also with
It's happening.
it's so exciting. It's so
Oh
exciting.
my
Also, like,
God.
obviously it's super confirmed because Sarah J. Maas has been throwing out some teasers. So we know there's a bonus chapter with Bryce, Nesta, and Asriel. I don't know why they're all together. She also released a sentence from Flame and Shadow that is them three together again. Oh, so it's just
Do you
exciting.
think that the little excerpt that we got from her is the bonus chapter, or do you think that it's something that happens in the main book?
I don't
Because we know
know.
that those three have a bonus chapter together.
Right. And I'm trying to think because obviously the sentence that was released by Sarah J. Maas was concerning. And it made me a little bit nervous. But I'm
Yeah.
trying to remember that a lot of these authors release sentences almost as kind of like a shock factor. So I'm hoping that it's super out of context. Because I will say this is a different fantasy series. There was a Q&A that Rebecca Yarros, the author of Fourth Wing, put out there about Iron Flame. And she released a sentence that said something like, "I reach for Dane's belt buckle," which, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it.
Yeah, and Jennifer Armentrout also did the same thing with her last book that came out, A Light in the Flame. I think it was A Light in the Flame is the last one, or it's either that or Flesh in the Fire, but she released this sentence about like, I'm gonna do something like a god. And it was very much like because of the situation that this person was in, it was very much led to believe that something bad was gonna happen. But when I read the book, that
Right.
wasn't the
So I'm hoping that it's very much out of context and that
Yeah.
all of them will be okay. Cause
Even
I
though I'm not gonna lie, I kind of think it might have been a little bit in context, but I don't necessarily think it means that anything specific has happened. But
oh.
I think, I don't know. Personally, I think that it was a real teaser.
It was, and I'm dying. This book is going to destroy me. It's going to probably rip out my heart. I just like have a feeling that we're going to get like a really big death in this book.
Well, at least your favorite character isn't literally on the line right now. Like, you could be me, okay?
That's
I'm
true.
trying
Oh my
so hard not to stress out about this.
God. I forgot that. Damn, I wish I had like a reference for this, but because I think I've just seen this online. I don't know if I've seen like the actual video, but I remember that online people were saying that Sarah was basically saying that Bloomsbury made her rewrite the scenes of Hunt and Rune for this next book because it was too much. Like it was bad. And I'm just like, oh my God. I don't need another like Aelin torturing scenario. Okay. I don't need to read that again. But
I'm not gonna lie though, like I kind of am into the books that have the darker themes like that. I love Sarah J. Maas, obviously, but I haven't been a big fan of the way that she keeps almost killing people. People keep almost
That's
dying and then getting saved. It's like, brute, I want to know that like something can happen to these people. I want these people to be like, you know. I don't want them to be infallible. I should really actually be worried about these people because something bad could happen to them. So I hope she didn't go too far back with the rewrite because I don't know. As much as I love Hunt and Rune, I want to know that nobody's safe. I like that feeling when I'm reading. I don't want it to be like, oh, this is going to have a happy ending and everything's going to be okay. I loved that about Kingdom of Ash. That book
Yeah.
ripped my fucking heart out and stomped on it. And I loved every minute of it. So
Yeah,
I
that Yeah, I
don't
will say I might get shit for this, but I feel like in Wings of Ruin, it would have had more of an impact if Amren just died.
One of them needed to. I mean, I
The
hate to,
I don't know.
it either needed to be Rhysand, or it needed to be Amryn. You can't have two fake deaths within a hundred, not even 100 pages.
Literally the next page, Rhysand's back, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and he and
okay.
actually the same exact way that Feyre got saved. It's like, dude, this is literally okay. So is it just that every single time that someone we love is gonna die, that these seven lords are gonna come together and save the lives? It kind of,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. And also Cassian almost fucking died too. So I'm like,
yeah.
Everyone basically almost fucking died in this book. I definitely don't want anyone to die because I don't, it's going to be like emotional awfulness for me. But at the same time, I think it would add so much to the story.
Yeah. I don't necessarily want anyone to die, but I want to know that somebody can die, if that makes
right.
any kind of sense. I want to know that it's not just like I said, with Kingdom of Ash is like the best example of this. It's why it's one of my favorite SJM books. It's just, even though I felt like in the end, it really could have been much worse characters that, you know, passed on. It could have been one of the main characters. It's still just like to have somebody go, that impact was there. And I mean, it was there with Lahaba in Crescent City
yeah,
too.
That killed me.
Yeah, but I just can't have another Wings in Ruin where everybody's just okay. If we're going to have a war and people are going to be fighting and lives are on the line.
Yeah. Like the only person that died was like literally like the Archeron sister's dad, pretty much.
Which was kind of
like he wasn't even in the book.
It's a throwaway. Like not only was he not in the book, but like
he was a terrible, not a good person.
He was a bad dad. Like he wasn't a bad person. He was just a bad dad.
Yeah,
like,
true.
I mean, you know, it just is what it. But you know, whatever. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I do say that as scared and nervous as I am, I'm also kind of just like antsy and excited about what the fuck is about to happen.
Yeah, I'm nervous. I just hope it's, oh, I just certain characters will kill me if they end up dying. But
girl,
hopefully if any of my favorite characters die, it's in like a super heroic, like sacrifice way. That's how everyone who has died so far, and well, really big characters, like the 13 and Lahaba, they've all sacrificed themselves for the bigger picture. And I'm like,
Avril too, yeah.
Oh, true. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's you know, I don't know. Well, we will see. But I'm almost positive that if anybody that's good is gonna die, it's gonna be in a heroic way. I don't see her just killing somebody for no reason, but I don't know. Okay, well, since we got out of the way, who we would freak out about if something bad happened to them, who would you freak out about if they showed up in this book?
Manon.
Period. Like, is there another answer?
Okay,
is
but
there
like,
another answer?
Who's on the cover? Okay, who the fuck is on the cover? There has been so much debate over it, but I feel like it's Manon, and I know it's pronounced Manon, but to me it's Manon. I'm sorry, but there's just so many like little Easter eggs in there. I'm like, okay, first of all, there's word marks on her arm. Second of all, there's fucking the iron claws, whatever. Okay,
right.
Also, there's a black eye. You know, Manon is part fucking Vogue, so
yep.
I don't know. I don't know. And I know a lot of people think it might be Aelin, but
I don't get Aelin personally.
I think if Aelin was going to come into a book, it might not be this one. I might be wrong about that. Who knows? Like, she might show up, but because that would be like, I think that would like break the internet.
Yeah. I feel like if she does it, I mean, this could be wrong too, but I almost feel like it would be more likely that somehow they go to where Throne of Glass is happening and they see her like that, not that she shows up in their world. Like, and I guess that could be the same for Manon, but I find it more likely that Manon would somehow come to their world, whereas with Aelin, I feel like they're gonna have to go to her. And I feel like if something like that happens, it's possible, but it would be almost like a cliffhanger ending again. Like it wouldn't be something that got fleshed out in this book, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, this book, I am already putting money that it's gonna be a huge cliffhanger again. It's probably gonna literally end with Aelin coming or something like that. But
do you think that if Manon shows up, that Dorian's gonna show up too?
I hope so. I really hope so. And I will say, like, I have seen theories online. I don't know if I 100% believe these, but there's a question of, like, what is Rhysand's last name?
Of course.
Some people think it might be Dorian's last name.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that. I don't know. I think I would need some more connections, I guess. But I
Yeah.
wouldn't be mad about it because I do love Dorian. I love him. So I
I love
don't
Dorian.
know.
I love Dorian too. And I think that Dorian is kind of a wild card person that a lot of people don't really talk about. Dorian's super powerful. He
He
has so
is.
many different types of magic. He can shapeshift and change his appearance. He could literally beat anybody. Dorian is just such a wild card. And then obviously he goes hand in hand with Manon. But then also, okay, so with the Rhysand last name, I personally don't really think that Rhysand's last name is Havliard. I think if Rhysand descends from anybody, it's actually Elide and Lorgan. I really believe that because I guess that kind of leads into the next theory, which I guess a little bit later I'll go a little bit deeper into why I think all of this, but I really think that at the very least, Throne of Glass and ACOTAR are happening in the same world at different times. And
Yeah, me
so
too.
I think that most of the people that are in ACOTAR are actually descendants of the characters in Throne of Glass. I know that that's like
Same.
a theory that we share. And so I think that if Rhysand's line comes from anybody, I think it's Elide and Lorcan. I mean, it's just what I believe. Lorcan is the shadow daddy of Throne of Glass. Elide is a witch that we never really get to learn more about her powers.
Yeah, we literally, it was just casually mentioned a few times, like, oh yeah, Elide like is a witch, but we never got an explanation ever. And I was really excited when I was reading it. And this is one of the critiques I have about Throne of Glass. And I know this book is like a lot of people's favorite Sarah J. Maas
Beloved.
series, but there are some flaws in it. Of course, I mean, it's gonna be with all of her series, but I'm assuming this it has to be saved for later. We never learned about this, but she starts to be friends with Manon, and I'm just like, why do we never learn about her witch powers? It there's a little bit of mystery to it, and again, maybe she's saving it for later books. Maybe there will be a crossover with
Maybe a
Elide.
crossover book,
There has to
maybe a
be, because
crossover.
witches are so much mentioned in these books, like Hypaxia, Nessa's called a fucking witch. Manon's obviously the
What
fucking
if
witch bitch, like.
Hypaxia somehow speaks to them because she's a necromancer and they're witches and they've been dead. So what if Hypaxia has to go to one of them for information? Maybe not Manon, but Elide or anybody from one of those, from the time period. I'm just saying, what if that fucking happens? That would be crazy.
Yeah, the one
I
thing is like,
definitely go ahead.
I'm curious about how, I don't remember if they said, even though like the characters of Throne of Glass are mostly immortal, how long are they alive for? Because I feel if Throne of Glass and ACOTAR are in the same world but different times, I feel like Throne of Glass is before the crossing. And like the Asteri, which would be 15,000 years ago, which is, I don't know.
I don't know about that because I feel like the Asteri are actually truly immortal beings, like gods almost. Like,
Yeah, that makes sense, but I'm
so
saying.
they could have had, I still think that that happened before the crossing, but I don't think that that happened before the Asteri because I kind of believe that the Asteri are in Throne of Glass, if that makes sense.
Do you think they're Vogue?
So
Oh my God, I'm so curious.
there's a very specific line in House of Sky and Breath where Rigelus is talking about how his siblings were trapped in a world that they want revenge on because.
Oh, they're gods. They're the gods. Oh my God, that makes so much sense because I will say Throne of Glass has set it up where we shouldn't trust gods. We really shouldn't. Oh my God, this
I'm
makes
just saying.
so much sense. I don't trust the
I
gods. I don't. I
They're
never
not
have.
good. They're
They're
not
not.
good.
They
And
literally like I oh my God.
it would
Oh,
kind of
I love
make
that.
sense if somehow, because a lot of those people in Throne of Glass literally descended from the gods. And it would just kind of make sense if when they defeated the gods and they kind of stole some of their powers and they trapped them in that world, that's what Rigelus is talking about when he's saying that they want revenge on that world. And that's also why I believe that Throne of Glass and ACOTAR are the same world
Oh my
at
God, and
different
that would give a
times.
reason for Throne of Glass characters to be
in the crossover, in either whether it's CC3 or it's ACOTAR 6 or whatever it is, or it's the new series that was announced that we haven't, you know, gotten the first book of yet. Whatever it is, I 1000% think that those characters are going to come into play, because I think that the Asteri are, for lack of better words, gods. That's just, it just makes so much sense to me.
That doesn't make sense, because the way that the gods were to Aelin during like the last few pages of Kingdom of Ash, it makes sense. And that book made me really not trust the gods, and I haven't since. And should I go ahead and talk about this? I'm gonna go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah,
I
go for it.
I think I don't trust this whole Luna lady and Crescent City, because I think that she's Deanna. And Deanna was kind of a bitch.
Deanna was kind of evil, bro.
Like, she was like awesome. Oh my God, there's so much I want to say. I'm like, how do I
okay, like, put it together?
Yes, because this might be a little bit unhinged, but I'm pretty confident that Luna is Deanna. And
right,
what we know from Crescent City is that the first thing that was built in Crescent City was literally Luna's temple. Mm. That would make sense if she's an Asteri. Oh God.
Right.
Anyway, so go ahead.
Okay. I can't remember right now. It's not completely coming to me, but Koshai and like the Bone Carver and the Weaver, they're obviously all siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Are they considered gods in ACOTAR? Like, could they be considered gods that haven't?
I don't know.
Because that term isn't like a thing in ACOTAR. I don't know. The only reason that I'm asking is because
I'm Googling it.
What you just said about Luna's horn, well, about Luna and the horn and the Dread Trove, doesn't the Dread Trove have something to do with like Koshai and all them? Or am I misremembering? I haven't finished my reread of Silver Flames yet.
Okay, so the Weaver and
the Bone Carver and Koshai?
They're called in ACOTAR Old Gods and Death Gods. Oh my God, we figured out the book. We figured out the book, y'all. This is it. I this is it. This
oh
is
Oh my God.
It.
And so that's this, it's all this.
Wait, so do you think they're part of the Asteri then?
I think that when the Asteri are talking about their brethren, their brothers and sisters, they're talking about all of them.
Because I want to say that I wouldn't really put the Weaver or the Bone Carver into an evil. They, you know, Wings of Fury, like they showed the fuck up.
Right.
Like they helped out a lot.
But I don't think that all gods are bad. I just think that we can't trust.
No, the Asteri have to be death gods, because it says, okay, by the way, we're using Crescent City Wiki, like shout out to this fucking website, but it
literally
says, because the Weaver's powers allow her to feed on life itself, she is considered a death god. That's literally what the Asteri do. They feed on life itself.
Oh my God. Did I? What the hell?
Lauren, you're a genius.
I just literally just like, when you were talking about that, I was like, but wait.
Oh my God. Oh no, you're right. You're right. Okay, the history. I'm quoting this from Crescent City Wiki. The history portion of this says, in the time before the Cauldron, the Mother, and the creation of Prithian, they crossed over dimensions from another world.
Bruh. Dude,
these three siblings, who were immensely powerful by this world's standards, were set up as gods by the ancient fae living in the world. And then they were worshipped out of fear by those ancient fae.
I'm sorry. Oh my God. Okay, I'm sorry. When you started talking about Luna being Deanna, it's all fucking connected. Bro.
Okay, well, I will say really quick on that. The reason why I think Luna is Deanna is because they are literally, I guess, shown to look the fucking same. Right. So Luna, her temple, she has two wolves next to her. She has a golden bone arrow. We know from Throne of Glass, Deanna has a fucking golden bone arrow, and this arrow is gifted to Aelin, who is a descendant of Deanna.
Mm-hmm.
So for that main reason is why I think that they're the same person. They're basically, in my opinion, based on Artemis, the Greek goddess. So
right.
it just makes sense. And I don't know. I have some questions about Luna and Deanna kind of gives me a lot of red flags. But so that,
Yeah. Well, when
oh
she
God.
possesses Aelin's body, she has a whole
Yeah.
monologue that's kind of talking about how not untrustworthy she is, but how not good she is. And so I just like, I don't know. I definitely think you're onto something with like the Deanna and the Luna being the same. But I also think that it just all ties into these are literally all the same fucking gods. They just are set up in these different worlds because of how the history has been told. And
Yeah.
that's all I like. I don't know.
So I have one more thing I want to say about Deanna because I think this is going to be important at some part in these books. But when she possesses Aelin in Throne of Glass, it says that light leaked through her clenched fingers, cold white light. It was cold of the stars, cold of the stolen light, not wildfire, but moonfire. And I can't help but that reminds me of Nessa's Silver Flames.
Oh, really? Because it reminded me of Bryce's Starborn Light. That's so interesting.
It also says fire like ice. That's why I think that fire stolen
Okay.
from the stars. And I'm like, okay, so like Nessa's power, as we know, is literally it's cold fire, like it's freezing cold fire. And so I'm over here thinking, did Deanna have something to do with making the cauldron? And because we know that Nesta took power from the cauldron. We
Right.
still don't really know too much about Nesta's power either. We don't know who she got it from. But I do remember in the scene where she is in the prison in Silver Flames on the island that I don't remember the guy's name that she fights, but the dude that she ends up killing in the prison was super like, I know who you got your power from. So I'm like, is it Deanna? Oh, I don't know.
Interesting. I mean, if she's the one who made the cauldron, then that's definitely 100% who she got her power from, because we all know that she literally stole the power from the cauldron. She just took it. So I don't know, man.
Oh, there's so much to say about it, but
I
yeah,
know, I know.
it's exciting. I
I
love
love
this
that theory. I
shit.
was gonna say, I love that theory though. I don't know. And now I'm really questioning about like Bryce and does Nesta and Deanna, all of these people have something, because it's like, what? Okay. In Sky and Breath, when Rigelis is talking to Bryce about her ancestor who also bore the star, we don't know who that is.
We
We don't
don't.
know who that is, but he says that she also had stolen power, if I'm not mistaken. And so I'm like, I'm
Huh. The
pulled
only
off.
thing that's interesting about that, and I don't think it has anything to maybe do with this theory, but I will say it's really interesting that Nesta has basically Bryce's star tattooed on her back. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
I don't remember that. I
Like,
thought.
Nesta has, I think, a 6-pointed or 8-pointed star, whichever the one that Bryce has, because you know how Bryce has like a glowing star on her
Right,
chest?
when she
She
makes
has
that
it in her
deal with Ca
back.
when she makes that deal with Cassian is when that happens. So I wonder, because I remember specifically when she makes the deal with Cassian, Cassian said she her skin was bare before the tattoo marked her back. So she specifically got that tattoo from making that deal with him about training. So I wonder if that has something to do with her magic, because Cassian also got the same tattoo on his back when they made that deal.
But I mean, I just wanted to bring that up. I don't think that has anything to do with Nesta, but I think it's a good
Right.
point to bring up the connection that Bryce and Nesta will probably end up having because of the Dead Trove.
Oh, I definitely think that the Dread Trove is going to be something, but I don't know, because Asriel is the one who obviously carries the sword that is, or the knife that is the sword that when they unite, their people will find prosperity, whatever. And so I'm assuming that there is more of a connection to Asriel, which kind of ties into our theory about him.
Oh, okay, wait, really quick before we get into Az. I just really think that the horn is the fourth missing Dead Trove that was talked
Yeah.
about in Silver Flames.
The
So I'm like, okay, so there's gonna be something with Bryce and Nesta, and I think they're gonna have to come together and I don't know. I guess try to figure out a way to get Bryce back to her home planet or something like that. I just know that I feel like Nesta's gonna have a really, really big part in this book with Bryce.
I
And I'm
definitely think
excited.
Nesta is. Yeah. I
I'm
think Nesta's
excited
going to be
about
a part
it.
of this book. I don't know. I kind of don't think Nesta and Bryce are going to get along, at least not at first. So I'm very
I
interested
think
about
though,
that.
I'm curious to
Nesta
see.
has changed a lot. So I need to take that into account. She's probably not going to be just a bitch straight off the bat. Mm-hmm. Like she would have been before Silver Flames. So, you know,
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if at first they don't understand each other, but I think if not that, I think throughout time they will become friends because they do have like a lot in common. Like they both love to fucking dance. I feel like they're gonna connect over that. I really think they're gonna connect over that. That's their main hobby.
Okay.
But I don't know, just because of the way that like Nesta is with like the Valkyries, I think she's gonna be really different in this book in terms of like meeting new characters and stuff. And she's probably gonna be like, what, like that horn that's tattooed on you, like what is that? And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think there's gonna be like some huge connection, but also Nesta doesn't have her fucking powers right now. So that's the whole thing. Neither was Aelin.
We know that Bryce is a conduit though, so it's possible that, you know, I don't know, that somebody's going to use Bryce, because Holion made such a big deal of telling her, you're a conduit and people like you, you and the others like you are extremely valuable. So mm-hmm. I think that that's something that's going to come into play as her being a conduit. And I don't know who's going to use their power and amplify it through her, but somebody is. So it would kind of make sense if somehow Nesta could use her and the Dread Trove to literally amplify her power.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But the Asriel thing, I think that that connection is so interesting to me, because if what we think about Asriel is true, it would also be just so, so interesting that the descendant of Thea also had a mating basically with a Prince of Hell. Because remember, Thea and Adis were together, they were mates, they loved each other.
So true.
So it would be crazy if her being a descendant and basically being Thea reincarnated, I feel like, not reincarnated, but you know, that would be crazy.
Sarah J. Maas likes to put in her fucking books like called to like,
just saying.
Anyway, a little bit about Asriel. We might get shit for this. I mean, at least I will. I don't really know your opinion on Asriel, who's gonna end up with, but people are really aggressive about it online. I'm just, y'all, it's gonna be okay. But the huge question is, who is Asriel's mate, or who is he gonna end up with? And I wasn't on board with him ending up with Bryce at first, but I think I am now.
I know. I don't know what to say about it.
I also don't really know, to be honest, because there's a whole question about Elaine.
Yeah.
What does that mean for Elaine? Because they obviously do have some type of connection, and I wouldn't hate it either, because they give me Hades and Persephone vibes, especially if we're theorizing that Asriel is probably a Prince of Hell.
Right.
That would be kind of perfect.
You're right.
There's so many options. There's so many options. And I'm also like, someone pointed this out on Reddit. I really wish I knew their username, but they searched books about being Polly, and the first fucking thing was House of Flame and Shadow. Mm-mm-mm. Which I'm okay. Does that mean that? I don't know. We'll see what happens. But either way, I don't really hate if he ends up with Elaine or if he ends up with Bryce. I think it makes more sense if he ends up with Bryce to me. But that also means what the fuck happens with Hunt. Ugh.
I don't know. I'm kind of very much, the whole who Bryce ends up with thing is so hard for me to even think about, because I love Bryce and Hunt so much. Oh. They're my favorite SJM couple. And so it's really hard for me to even imagine them not being together. But then also there's the whole idea in my head of Elaine has to end up with Asriel, because it's literally the Bat Boys and the Archeron sisters destined to be together. And then there's the part in my head where I kind of do think Lucien and Elaine might end up having like a thing. I think that something might happen to Tamlin and Lucien might end up taking over the Spring Court as the only one who still be emissary, and then Elaine ends up being with Lucien and she would be the High Lady of the Spring Court. I'm just saying, it just makes so much sense.
It does make sense, but also at the same time, because as we know, the dresser that Feyre painted was basically a foreshadowing of the sisters' like future,
right?
A little bit, and it's like even if Elaine does become High Lady of the Spring Court, which would be so cute, that could obviously foreshadow that. But also, if Elaine ends up with Asriel. And if they're basically like Sarah J. Maas's version of Hades and Persephone, like, that would also work out perfectly.
It would make a lot of sense. I stopped, I will say that I did stop putting as much emphasis on the drawer thing because I was on that. I was like, no, Elaine has to be High Lady of the Spring Court because of this. But I read, I don't remember where either, but I read like an interview where they were talking and the whole thing with the drawers was like, originally Nesta was actually supposed to end up with Lucien and that's why there was flames painted on her door. Yeah, that was why. And so, and I don't know if Elaine was supposed to end up with Tamlin, but like, I do know that she was writing it so that Nesta was going to end up with Lucien and that's why she had the flames painted on her drawer.
Oh,
so I kind of am like, I don't know about how, like, because I do think that it was meant to be foreshadowing, but I'm not 100% sure that that train of thought is still carrying across all of these books. But then I've also read that Sarah J. Maas originally wasn't even going to keep Nesta and Elaine in the story. And that's why she made Nesta so nasty. And so I don't like it, I don't know what to believe really, but it's all just very much, I don't know. It's so exciting to think about what it could mean. But I don't know. Those are two things that I kind of question a little bit just because I've heard, you know, mixed, not even reviews, but just mixed opinions on if that actually means anything or not. Obviously, Feyre being with Rhysand was like the main foreshadowing from that whole thing, but obviously.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going to happen, but I do hope that we get a little bit more of an answer in this book about the whole Asriel and Bryce situation. We didn't even bring up the whole like theory about him and Gwyn.
But I know, I literally
I don't know if I really see that happening, to be honest. But
I think it's the one that makes the least amount of sense just based on what we've seen so far. It's kind of just, I don't know, it's almost like the Emery and Moore thing. Where it's just, is that real or is that just people taking tiny little subtext and trying to turn it into something that it's not necessarily?
It is based off like a few sentences, but
yeah,
I mean, I don't see that happening, but I don't blame anyone or whatever for even reading into that, because I mean, Sarah J. Maas is like the queen of like foreshadowing, so who knows. But all I know is that Asriel got options.
for real even Nesta was drooling over Asriel.
I know,
like, she was, even Nesta, freaking Nesta, oh, who hates everybody, was God. I always thought he was the most beautiful one.
all I'm gonna say really quick is, if Sarah J. Maas ever listens to this podcast, we know you wrote the chapter about the threesome. Can we
Please, oh, I know. Please, just anywhere.
I have read fan fictions, but I need the chapter.
I need
the chapter, okay? I need this chapter of Nesta's fantasy. I think everyone does.
And
I want to talk about Asriel really, really quick, because I feel like we talked about him a lot, but I didn't explain it. Okay.
Okay.
Just really quick before we get like to a different thing. Okay, y'all, if this is all over the place, it's because we are, and that's just how we talk about
this
these
theories. Literally how our conversations go. Every time we say a theory, it opens a door for another.
Oh, like, my God.
But what if this? So sorry.
We'll be in public, like, screaming this. People are like, what are you talking about? We're like, ACOTAR. We're talking about ACOTAR theories. Okay, so really quick, I just want to talk a little bit more about Asriel. So I know we kind of threw in there that we think that he is a prince of hell. I just wanted to give a little bit of a reasoning for that. First of all, his literal name, okay? His literal name is Asriel, and that is a name that basically means like the son of Satan. So it makes sense. Also, we don't really know that much about his past. All we've really been told is that he was locked in a tower and he has all these marks on his hands because of it when he was a kid. I don't know what that means. There's a lot of mystery around him, and it just kind of makes sense, in my opinion, if he is a prince of hell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to add anything to that, but yeah.
So with the Asriel being a prince of hell thing, I'm like, I want to say like 85 to 15% because I think that it does make sense, but I'm also confused about how, if he is, how he got into the ACOTAR world, just based on what we know about the princes of hell being locked in their world by the horn when Peleus and Apollyon had their battle. Also, we do know that it was his stepbrothers that burned him, and that's why he has the scars. And so I'm just a little bit like, I don't, while I do think it's a high possibility, and it actually does make so much sense to me that at the very least, if he's not a prince of hell, what if he's like Aedas and Thea's like lost child or some shit like that? I don't know, but
Ooh.
I just think like unhinged theory coming through. But just like, I don't know, but I definitely, I like, I'm 85% there, but I do still have a few little questions about like just how that would work. And also, I don't know, maybe I should save it because I know eventually we'll do ACOTAR theories one day and this is more CC3 focused, but it's just I have other questions about Asriel because I don't know if he's going to be the one to betray the inner circle, but
You don't?
I know, but I was so certain about it, but now that I know that the princes of hell are actually not bad, I don't know how to feel about
Okay,
it.
that, you know what? That's actually a good point. Okay, really quick, a little bit of background. I think it was, I can't remember which ACOTAR book it's in, but one of the human queens says to Nesta that someone is going to betray the inner circle. And at first, my immediate reaction was, it's going to be more, which maybe it will be now. And then we were talking, me and Lauren, we were talking about, well, what if it's Asriel because he's a prince of hell? But in House of Sky and Breath, we kind of learn a little bit more about hell and the princes, and maybe they're not all bad. They're very much against the Asteri. I don't think Asriel's evil, even though I will say I would eat up an evil arc from him. I would die. But but also, if he is a prince of hell, I kind of feel like Rhysand would know that.
I
Like,
feel
I
like
feel,
Rhysand maybe
but what
knows
if
a little bit.
Rhysand is? I mean, who knows? If someone's gonna betray the inner circle, I'm not sure who it's gonna be. Maybe it's Amrynn. Because she seems like she has some connections to possibly the Viper Queen or Fury, who are kind of, we don't know too much about them. And the Viper Queen is, to me, is very much a little sus. So who, maybe that's why Amrynn wasn't killed off. Like we don't know. But I don't see Feyre being that person. But the thing is, the Inner Circle has grown so much. So I'm like, I don't know if she would do an evil arc for Nesta because she kind of already had like her morally gray moment. I if it's Elaine, that would be fucking wild. Like I don't know how to.
I don't know about Lane. She's just kind of like a wet napkin to me. Like she's just kind of there. I hope
Okay,
she gets some sort of like.
she's gonna I'm holding out for Elaine because I agree. Like she is kind of there, and I do think that a lot of people kind of brush away how. She also wasn't the greatest towards Feyre, and I think a lot of people forget about that. We don't know too much about Elaine. All we know is that she's very like quiet and sweet, but she's also a seer. But I'm assuming that the next or one of the most feature ACOTAR books will be about Elaine, and I think she's going to get a good story. I have a feeling that Sarah J. Maas will do her justice, but I also wouldn't hate it if she had an evil arc. But
I think that the reason that Elaine doesn't get as much, like people don't talk about how Elaine was towards Feyre, is because, first of all, Nesta was nasty. There's a difference. Like, Nesta was mean. Elaine was just kind of like oblivious. Sarah J. Maas has written Elaine to literally be like just this like la-di-da-di-da, I'm going through life and just
But
everything
that would
just
be
happens
perfect
to me
if
and
she's
I
the
don't
one that
really.
betrays them.
Oh,
Oh.
I could, but I don't consider her part of the inner circle, but I could see
I,
her be like, yeah, I
yeah.
could see her being like one to betray them. I mean,
That
yeah,
would
that's.
be, because she is like, I will say, of all the people, she is the bottom of my list to be the one who betrays them. But that shit would kind of slap. That's just like a, that's a crack theory, but we aren't sure who's going to be the one, but.
Somebody's gonna do it.
Someone's gonna
I
do
think
it.
that I personally do think though that that is gonna come up in ACOTAR and not in Crescent City, if I'm
Me
being 100%
too.
honest. So I think we kind of have a little bit more time to gain a little bit more information from whatever does happen in CC3 and then kind of really solidify that theory a little bit more because I definitely think Elaine is, she's getting her book. I mean, I think Sarah J. Maas confirmed that she's getting her book. And then, like I said earlier, it's kind of like, Part of me is like the Bat Boys and the Acheron sisters' fated destiny. That just kind of makes sense. How random would it be if like Nesta and Feyre end up with a Bat Boy and then like Elaine ends up with Lucien or whoever, or Tamlin.
Oh
But
God.
I've seen those theories.
No, I have too. I've seen the theories. Okay, that Tamlin will get a redemption arc. I don't know how I feel about that.
I would also hope that Elaine wouldn't want her sister's like
Right, like that's kind of weird, but
ex almost husband. I don't know.
I will say if anyone is going to sacrifice themselves in this book, it should be Tamlin.
I mean, honestly, Tamlin needs to just kind of go away. Like he's trying to just hear at this point, in my personal opinion.
There is, I don't know. I feel like he might get a little bit more of a redemption. I know that in Wings and Ruin, Sarah J. Maas at least was starting to kind of give him a little bit of redemption because he did save Elaine and Feyre from King Highburn's camp. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need to leave a character to be not good.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a hard time forgiving.
I don't know. I don't want to get too far into that in this book because we haven't gotten there yet. But I think that there's a possibility for anybody to always be redeemed, like to be 100% honest. I know you're probably going to disagree with this. I feel like if Nesta can be redeemed, then anybody can be redeemed. But I just think that definitely he's going to have to do something. And a short of sacrificing himself, I don't really see what he's going to do to get that redemption. But I don't know. I haven't thought too much on that. That was just more of me making fun of the fact that some people think that Tamlin and Elaine are going to end up together. And I'm just kind of like,
no, like Tamlin can have like his own literal episode.
Yeah. And he will. Most likely, eventually, we will get into it and really talk about him, especially when we talk about Mist and Fury. We're going to have to. Also, just the seeds that were planted in the first ACOTAR.
Did you put in about Rune not being Bryce's real brother?
Yeah.
I agree with that. I don't think they're related.
Oh, I think that all has to do with not with what my main theory is, but just I 1000% think that, well, I don't know. Okay, there's so many things that based on what. First of all, I think that Rhysand knew about the whole other world situation, and I also think that the Autumn King does too.
Yes, I was about to say I think the Autumn King 1000% knows about the other worlds. And why is he called the Autumn King? And he has red hair. So like it's giving me questions about obviously like the Autumn Court, but I don't know. Like
I 1000% think that well, okay, first of all, the Autumn King's kind of an asshole. He's not a good guy.
He's
part of the Autumn Court, he's definitely Baron's line. He is an asshole. He used to burn Rune when he was a kid, and like just the way he treats Bryce, the way that he was so easy to just cut her out of his life and whatever. But I said I don't really think that Rune is Bryce's true brother. I don't know what the hell where that theory is going, but I am almost willing to bet on it that they're not actually related by blood. Obviously, they're brother and sister in their hearts because Rune has just the softest place in his heart for Bryce, and I just love. I actually that's one of the things that really truly on my reread too really made me be like, God damn, I really like Rune, is because of his relationship with Bryce. He is just such a good brother to her. Even when they kind of made it seem that it wasn't going to be that way in the first book.
That's true. And there's also a question. I mean, we have to bring up how Rune and Rhysand are like, they look the same.
They're identical. She said, except for Rhysand has darker coloring.
And wings, I guess. But
Rhysand's wings are manufactured. They're not, because he doesn't always have wings. So Bryce wouldn't have seen that yet.
That's true. So there is like, I don't want to talk about Tamlin anymore, but we might have to. But so there is a little bit of a theory online that I've seen this from so many different people, but there's a theory that so we learn in ACOTAR that Rhysand's mom and sister were killed by Tamlin's dad, and Tamlin was there or whatever. And there's a little bit of a question of maybe Rhysand's sister was able So maybe Tamlin did something to save her, and possibly maybe she's Rune's mom. I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I just don't understand why they are like basically twins.
Yeah, I told you that that theory to me is not my favorite. I
It's not my
think
favorite either,
that
but
there's a reason that Ryzan and Rune look identical, but I don't think it's because his mom is his sister. I could be wrong. I could 100% be the right theory, but there's just the way that Rune talks about his mom and how her demeanor and the way that she was when he was growing up. I can't believe that she is Rhysand's sister. You said she somehow had her memory wiped, and what would have had to happen? Nobody knew that this girl just came out of nowhere and just showed up and didn't remember anything, and that's never talked about. I could see if it had been mentioned, Rune's mom had, this crazy childhood, but I have a little bit of a hard time believing that, especially because of how she reacted when Rune's mind speaking abilities manifested. I feel like if she was Rhysand's sister, unless she had her memory wiped, there would be no way for her not to know what was happening when Rune started mind speaking to her.
That's true. I don't know how they're related, but I feel like it's going to be something really big. Either it's going to be Rhysand's sister ends up being alive, or maybe it's Queen Maeve, maybe it's something super random. Just I literally don't know.
I tend to, well, me personally, I kind of tend to believe that it has something to do with Nyx and whoever Nyx ends up being with, and the way that the bloodline continues, and the way that that, what, I guess, like, maybe now's the time to talk about my theory.
Wait, really, really, really quick. The only thing that I am questioning about the Nyx theory is, isn't Nyx, he's half Valyrian, right? So he
Well,
has
no.
wings.
He's technically
Because that's
a
the.
quarter Illyrian. He does have wings, though.
So I'm like, if he,
But
wouldn't
that
that
would
mean that Rune would
continue.
have.
No, because that could the bloodline would continue to get weaker and weaker. Just if, if I have kids with a white person, eventually they're not going to be black anymore. If I just were if that and then my kid were to have a kid with a white person, and eventually the dominant trait would not be there anymore. So I mean, it to me it's still completely possible,
It's
especially
definitely
because
a possibility.
she made quite clear that Rhysand had darker coloring, which means that whatever Rune is, he's not as close to the Illyrian
That's a good point.
coloring as Rhysand is, I guess. So I don't know. I
I don't know either. I have a lot of questions
don't
about
know.
that, like that line. I don't understand why they look the exact same, but I hope we
Oh,
find out.
yeah, I mean, they are related. I would be willing to bet money on that. So whatever however they're related, they are related. But I just don't 100% know how that goes. You know what I mean?
I
Like,
have no idea.
yeah, I guess we'll find. I mean, we're gonna find out. We're going to find out eventually. She didn't just put that in there for no reason. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a somewhat of an answer to that in this
I
book.
hope.
And I also kind of think this is partially why I think Ryzan knew about the other worlds, because when he finally introduces himself to Bryce, he says, "Hello, Bryce Quinlan." He already knew who she was. He addressed her by name, and he didn't seem surprised at all. Just the way that he was like, "Hello, Bryce Quinlan, I'm Ryzan." I really feel he knew. And then also, there is a line in Silver Flames in the beginning where Cassian is talking to him in his study, and Cassian notices is talking about different things like that are in the study. He says, "In its center, a map, the stars and planets around it, and some other fancy things that had been explained to Cassian once before. He deemed them boring and proceeded to ignore them completely. Az, of course, had been fascinated. Ryze had built the model himself centuries ago. It could not only track the sun, but also tell time, and it somehow allowed Ryze to ponder the existence of life beyond their own world and other things Cassian had again instantly forgotten."
Wait, Why did
Just
Cassian
saying.
instantly forget this?
Well, because I mean, I know he's your boy, but
No, I
Cassian's
know,
kind of
but
like a
like, I
no
mean,
care about stuff like that. He was saying it like he didn't care enough to remember
Okay.
it, but that's why
So
Az was super interested in it.
basically it's that the Silver Flames book was saying that Rhysand has potentially studied other worlds.
And that's not the only line that made me think that, but that is one thing. Also, what does that model remind you of? Does it not remind you of the model that the Autumn King had in his office in the first Crescent City book? Okay. And we know that the Autumn King has spent his entire life trying to get to the truth. So the Autumn King also knows about the other worlds. We know that to be true. And then, so in Silver Flames, remember, okay, so we have the librarians that live in the House of Wind, and they're like basically
Which,
it's like a
by the way,
safe.
has 7 levels.
Another seven.
Just saying.
They also study deeply just the world. That's literally what they're down there is studying literature. And let's see. So when Nesta is meeting Gwen, I guess she's already met her. And I don't know if you remember this part, but Gwen is works for this kind of a bitchy person
It's
who's like
basically Jessica, but yeah.
kind of, I don't think she's magic, but yeah, she's just
She has
like
the
a
same,
scholar. She's another woman who lives in the libraries and studies. Like all of the women down there have had things that have happened to them, and that's why they stay down there. But anyways, she says Gwen is describing, you know, oh, I accidentally put the wrong book in her office and she's gonna kill me. And so Nesta does the bait and switch and distracts her and switches the books or whatever. And when she goes back to tell Gwen, she's like, what is Meryl study anyways? And Gwen's response is lots of things. Meryl's brilliant, horrible, but brilliant. When she first came here, she was obsessed with theories regarding the existence of different realms, different worlds, living on top of each other without even knowing it. Whether there is merely one existence, our existence, or if it might be possible for worlds to overlap, occupying the same space, but separated by time and a whole bunch of other things I can't even begin to explain to you because I barely understand them myself.
Okay, so we're right. Throat of Glass and Avatar is the same world, but it's different time. It's like happening at the same
It's
time, but at the same time, it's overlapping.
right.
Oh, we're so right. Okay.
And then it says some philosophers believe there are 11 worlds like that. And some believe there are as many as 26, the last one being time itself, which is a throwback to Throne of Glass when Aelin is falling after she locks the word key, the gods up, and she falls through 11 worlds. Just saying.
Dude, I this fucking this Sarah J. Maas is such a genius. Like the fact that she literally wrote Throne of Glass when she was so young and
I
she had
know.
all this shit laid out. She's just like been leaving us like little hints
Just
everywhere.
little breadcrumbs. And then
Oh.
also, so the reason that I even said that was because I cannot believe that the librarians in Rhysand's library in his house have this information and haven't shared it with him. And he has this model. So Rhysand is aware of these different worlds. And I don't know if he was aware of Bryce himself and was like already expecting this, but Rhysand knows what's going on. And that, like, I'm just positive about that.
I mean, it would
Like,
make sense. I feel like he doesn't say how much he actually knows about a lot of situations. So that would very much fit his character.
yeah, there was a line that I was just reading about today where, of course, I can't find it, but Rhysand and Cassian are having a meeting, and then Aerys says something, and Rhysand like starts like going off into another world, basically not a literal another world, but just in his own head, and he stops paying attention to Cassian. And Cassian mentions that Rhysand does that a lot. He has a lot of like self thoughts that he doesn't share with the rest of the world or whatever. And so I just think, like I said, I don't know if Rhysand knows what's going on, but Rhysand is aware of this whole like other world thing. And then that makes so much sense, like whereas we know this is literally later in this book that Rhysand stops Aelin from falling through the world and throws his power up. So
Oh, he has to know. He literally has to. Oh my God.
if he knew that it wasn't just a shooting star, that it was an actual person and he blasted his power up to slow her down, Rysand knows.
Rysand knows.
So that's, yeah.
I just can't.
Right. I know.
I would say really quick is whenever all these books cross over and we get the giant ass war that's going to happen at some point, yeah. I better get a good fucking battle scene where Aelin has her full powers and we actually get to see Feyre at her most, because we still haven't really seen her use her full power. And I'm like, maybe that's why Sarah J. Maas hasn't had that giant fight scene with Aelin at her full power. And maybe that's why she has been keeping off with Feyre.
Right.
But I need that. I would love that.
I don't know. It's going to be epic. But then that also kind of ties me. So already I explained like the time that ACOTAR and Throne of Glass happening in the same thing. So there is a little bit of a question, because at the end of CC2, the Asteri Rigelus, he mentions a world where all of the Fae were shifters, and that's where the Murrs and the shifters come from. Mm-hmm. And that they had their ears bred out of them. So they're also Fae. I'm not sure if that's the same world, because even though Throne of Glass does have a ton of shifters and stuff, not every single Fae is a shifter. And so that made me pause and be like, was there even another world before Throne of Glass where everybody was a shifter, and that's also happening at the same time? But that's a little bit of an unhinged theory. But I think that planet is likely to be a different world or planet. And then ACOTAR and Throne of Glass are the same one. But I forget when we mentioned it, but a little bit earlier, we were talking about why Bryce, when we were talking about Asriel being a prince of hell, mm-hmm. why Bryce ended up in ACOTAR instead mm-hmm. of hell. I mean, this just coincides to also kind of why I think Bryce is that dust, like the dust court, the missing heir or whatever. But it's because he tells Bryce the star on her chest is a beacon to the world where she came from. And it sometimes glows when she gets near Fae who have undiluted bloodlines, which is why it glows around Cormac. Mm-hmm. Or when she's near her loyal companions, which is why it glows around Hunt. But then he said that he needs her to use the star to lead them back to that world where they overthrew his siblings who ruled it before. So that is why I think that the Asteri's siblings are the gods, which are all connected to the Valg and the gods and the death gods, and that Aelin is the one who trapped them in that world. Now, the reason that Bryce ended up there instead of hell is because she specifically used a blast of power from her star to open the portal, not from her hands or any other part of her body. It specifically says that when Hunt hit her with the power, she then used the star on her chest to blast power into the gate. And that's why she ended up in ACOTAR, because it was a beacon to the world where she came from.
Yeah, and that just basically confirms that she does come from the Dust Court. I mean, she literally has to. It makes so much sense. She has to be, she's going to end up being like the High Lady of the Dust Court. And I don't know if it's confirmed or not in ACOTAR, but like, for me, the Dust Court is the island that the prison's on.
Well, so, okay, I think that the question there isn't whether that island is 1,000% where Bryce is from, like her ancestors. I 1,000% believe that. I guess the question is if it was considered the Dust Court, because they never, as far as I can remember, in ACOTAR, they don't ever mention or call it by the name Dust Court. But when Rigelus tells her that her family, let's see if I can find it.
I think Rysand did say something about the Dust Court and it's not a thing anymore.
That could be, because I just don't remember. But he literally tells her that her fae came from a beautiful land rich with magic. The Starborn bloodline came from a small isle that was a few miles from the mainland, an isle existing in near permanent twilight, which is another word for dusk. This is where he tells her only a few in her world could shift from to an animal form. So we know that a few people in ACOTAR can switch to animal forms, i.e. Mm-hmm. Tamlin, Rysand. I think Feyre can do it too. And that the shifters come from another planet and all the fae in that world shared their form with an animal. So that's why I have a hard time believing that that world is supposed to be Throne of Glass, because not all the fae in Throne of Glass share their form with an animal, even though a lot of them do. So knowing what we know about Bryce's ancestors and why I think that she is obviously the ancestry of the descendant of the Dusk Court or whatever is the same, or how do we feel about Hunt? Because I have a huge question, obviously, I think we all do, about who is Hunt's dad? Is it a god? Is that why he smells different from other angels?
That's true. That was definitely part of House of Sky and Breath.
Mm-hmm. He says that Mordok tells him he doesn't smell right. He smells funny, and that's why the Asteri are interested in him. Mm-hmm. So is that why? Is it because he's literally a demigod? I know that he could be Fae, but I feel like if he was Fae, then Mordok would recognize that scent and the Asteri wouldn't be like just as interested in it if they just knew that he was a Fae who had been bred to be an angel. I think that all the angels are Fae, but the fact that he smells different is what makes him not Fae and he's actually something else, i.e. a god or the child of a god. I don't know.
Okay. I need to talk about Hunt. So I feel very strongly about this theory. I have not seen this anywhere. I think I'm onto something. So mm-hmm. I was researching a little bit about Hunt's real name, Orion. And I read a little bit about the lore behind Orion. And there's a lot of different variations of his story. But basically, Orion, he is a hunter, which... that's why Hunt's called Hunt. And there's a lot of things about Orion in mythology that is a little bit questionable. Like he R-words someone, which why is Hunt based off of this? But anyway.
And I have a hard time seeing him doing anything like that.
It's just taken, I think, from the mythology a little bit. But there are a few things that I think will happen that in Crescent City that happened to Orion and his mythology. Mm-hmm. So Orion falls in love with the goddess Artemis. And for me, I am not 100% sure who this Artemis is supposed to be. I know I said that Luna seems to be like she's Artemis, but I don't think that's the case in terms of Hunt. I think that because he's in love with Bryce. So when I'm thinking about this mythology, I'm thinking about Bryce, not Luna, because he gets blinded. And it makes me think so much that Bryce, it made me think like Bryce has the ability to blind someone. Mm-hmm. She blinded the Oracle. There's mm-hmm. been a few times in Crescent City 2 where Hunt mentions, she almost blinded me. It is just foreshadowing. I really think Bryce is going to blind him. I don't know why she's going to blind him. I think that it's probably going to be maybe not by her choice or something, but all I know is I really think Bryce is going to end up blinding Hunt, and I don't know what that means for Hunt.
I could see it being something because Hunt is now back under the control of the Asteri, and it kind of seems like this slave tattoo is a little bit more than what the last one was. I know it's a theory that like Rigelus or somebody is either going to possess his body or at mm-hmm. least have like control over him. I'm thinking that it's possible that Bryce and Hunt end up having to fight each other and she blinds him in the process of that. And that's part of why the Oracle told Hunt to stay away from Bryce. She told him just point blank. She was like, do yourself a favor and stay away from Bryce Quinlan. And that wasn't just a throwaway line. That meant something. So I could 1000% see her either having to blind him. I think it will be on purpose, but I think it will be like a choice she has to make because he's going to either kill her or kill somebody else. And she has to do that to prevent that from happening.
That's really true. And again, it's like the same Oracle that she literally blinded is telling mm-hmm. Hunt to stay away from her. And I feel like it's because the Oracle can see that he's going to be blinded because of fucking Bryce. Okay, so in House of Sky and Breath, there is a line that might kind of point to maybe Rigulus possessing Hunt. It says, Rigulus laid his glowing hand on Hunt's brow, and pain erupted through his skull, his muscles, his blood, as if the very marrow of his bones were being burned into mist. The Asteri's power slithered in spiderwebs across Hunt's brow, piercing into him with every spike of the halo's thorn that Rigulus tattooed there. Hunt screamed then, and it echoed off the stones, off the gate. Beside him, Bayaxan started inhaling sharp, jagged breaths, like the hellhound knew he was next. The pain across Hunt's brow became blinding, his vision splintering. The halo kept spreading over his skull, worse than any Gorzian shackle. His power withered in his iron grip, no longer to fully command. Just as his own life, his freedom, his future with Bryce, gone. Hunt screamed again, and as darkness swept in to claim him, he wondered if that soul scream, not the halo, was what Rigulus wanted, if the Asteri believed the sound of his suffering might carry through the gate and into hell itself, where Bryce could hear him. Then Hunt knew nothing at all. The thing that has me a little bit curious about them is saying, no longer his to fully command about his power. And I'm like, okay. Also, something I just really picked up on this last passage is Bryce does say in the last chapter of House and Sky and Breath that she felt like she could hear Hunt scream.
Oh.
And that was brought up in there.
Yeah, it was because he really screamed. So the worlds are literally happening at the same time or they're like right next to each other.
Oh my God, that was like not what I was trying to pick up on, but I picked up on that in the chapter. Oh, that's so interesting. Okay. Anyway, I don't know 100% if I am like fully on board with like the theory that Rigulus is going to possess Hunt. I will say in the Orion constellation, there is a star, the biggest star in the constellation. It's called Rigel, which is literally, taken from Rigulus. But again, like the Asteri are supposed to be known as stars that are basically like in a human.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much to say. I think that the god Thor that's supposed to be in Crescent City, I think he's supposed to be kind of taken from Zeus, which would make sense if that's really Hunt's dad. We do know that Jessica knows who Hunt's dad is, which I still have a lot of questions about.
Right.
I don't know. I just think Hunt's in a really bad position and I'm not sure if this can go well for him. And I also want to say when we were talking about how maybe the tattoo on his head might have some control over him, it kind of makes me think if it's possible that it's made out of word marks. Right. Like the same thing that Dorian had almost. He didn't really have control over himself. That is kind of a crack theory. But I'm just trying to think of a reason why Bryce would blind Hunt. Either, as you said, she has to do this in order to protect herself and other people because he's being possessed, or that's like the only reason I could think of.
Or maybe not even like possessed, but just like controlled. You know what I mean? It maybe like Rigulus isn't literally like in his body,
but he's able to like command him.
Right. Because I think when Dorian got, you know, possessed, he was literally possessed. He had a valve in his mind. Mm-hmm. It was another person and his consciousness was on the back end and it took Aelin to wake that up.
But he was fighting it the whole time too.
Yeah, he was. But with Hunt, I'm like, maybe it will be something similar to that, but not the exact same thing. Or maybe for all we know, they stick a word collar on him. All we know is that, you know, he was left with a tattoo. We don't know what could happen to him from here on out. And so I don't know. But also I feel like, I guess I didn't mention when it comes to Project Thur, I'm wondering if that is what happened to Hunt's dad and if that's why it's called Project Thur, like, because that's who he is.
Ooh.
But we know that when Rigulus is talking about Project Thur, Bryce just straight up asks him, what is Project Thur? And he tells her it's the last time somebody got as close as Danica to figuring out the truth. So whatever Project Thur is, it was the last time that somebody either figured out or almost figured out what exactly was going on. Because for all we know, Danica got much closer to the truth than we even realize. And so he says that. And so I'm just so curious if that has something to do with Hunt's missing dad, or if it's just something that has nothing to do with that at all. And it's a different person who got really close to the truth. And we're going to learn about who they are. One other thing that we didn't really touch on that I just think is so interesting, and maybe this would be a good theory for us to kind of exit on. It's not even a theory so much as just if the theory of like, of kind of what I was saying and what I think we both believe about Throne of Glass and ACOTAR being in the same world.
Yeah.
And these people are the descendants of the characters from ACOTAR. Like, it's just so interesting to me that literally I'm thinking Tamlin is the descendant of Lysandra and Aiden. And then in my mind, Rhys Sand is the descendant of Lorcan and Aelid, and there's just so many other connections of the different couples, and that's why is Bryce the descendant of Kaol and Yareen, and that's where the whole like healing light power comes from.
That would make sense.
I'm just saying, because you know, who's to say that if these people are thousands of years that other powers weren't mixed into that, you know what I mean? So if Bryce really is the missing heir of the Dusk Court, we know that, you know, Helion is known for his healing and his ability, which, if I'm not mistaken, is he the Dawn or the Day Court?
Helion is the High Lord of the Day Court.
Of the Day Court. So he has healing abilities. So it could, I guess it could also be that he could be the descendant of like Kaol and Yareen. I don't know. But I'm just saying it makes so much sense to me. Who was it? There was like Dorian and Mannen, if their kids are like the Winter Court kids, because you know Dorian has ice powers.
Oh and yeah, like, that's true.
I don't know. I'm just saying it would just be so interesting if all of these lords and
that
ladies
cool.
they come from the characters from Throne of Glass. So
I mean, I'm just gonna say it makes sense if Tamlin came from Aedion.
Yeah, for real. Aiden is kind of we'll get into that, but he's not my favorite. And the shitty part is I really did favorite. Like, I did like Aiden all the way up until he like kind of, in my opinion, showed his true colors. I do understand that like they lied to you and they didn't keep you in, but the way that he treated Lysandra is just unacceptable. So anyways, I don't want to get too far into that.
Anyway,
but yeah.
It makes sense. But
yeah, seriously.
But it makes sense because also I want to say Lysandra's colors are like green and like she's a shifter, and it's like Aiden is like this blonde guy who has red flags. And I'm like, that's literally Tamlin. Merged.
But also Aiden's dad is Gavriel, who was literally a shifter, a lion shifter. So Tamlin turns into this like wolf lion thing. It just makes so much sense.
It makes sense.
Obviously not every single one is going to be like dead on. And that's why this is more of just like a fun theory. It could just be completely off. It could just be coincidence. But I just think that one is so fun to think of. I'm almost positive that these worlds are the same worlds, especially because like, we didn't talk about the map. But if you look at the map, bro,
Look at the Throne of Glass map and look at Prithian and just see if there's a part that makes sense.
Ask me do you know what Pangaea is? Ask me if it's possible for this thing to break off and to end up
literally
turning into this. Just saying. So I don't know.
It's the way that the second I am checking out at this midnight release, I am going to look at the map, because if Crescent City is the only map provided, I'm going to be like, what?
I am almost positive that we're either going to get a bigger view of the Crescent City world, or we're going to get a bigger view of Prithian. There's only two options, or maybe both. Maybe like, there's a map on the front and a map in the back. I don't know.
We only have the map to Crescent City, not the actual continent, which...
Very specifically Lunathian. And I feel there's a reason for everything. There's a reason why Sarah J. Maas does everything. Oh, and you know, I was looking at the map in Silver Flames today, and I think that that's the first time that we see the other side of
like the rant area been labeled.
Right, but you get to see it, and I'm pretty sure, this is where I start to get the series mixed up, but is Windolin not the name of the other continent in Throne of Glass?
I think it is.
So I'm pretty fucking sure.
Are you
that
serious?
In Silver Flames.
It says Fairy Realms. There's a bunch of places that we haven't really been to yet in terms of that. Like, there's Valhallen.
Which, that's interesting.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of. Maybe it was Valhallen that I, of course, this one doesn't have the map.
That makes me wonder, because that's
Oh no, here
obviously
we
a
go.
play on Valhalla.
Ooh.
There's so many connections, y'all, with like mythology, especially Norse mythology. There's the Valkyries, there's now Valhalla. There's a lot of things in this that just
Yeah.
I don't even know.
We haven't learned about any of these places, which is interesting, but all I know is
Uh-oh.
that I go so feral over this and I absolutely love theorizing this fucking book.
No,
God,
seriously. Okay,
so
guys.
fun.
So this is just our, obviously, like we said, it's kind of more of like a kickback version of us just kind of shooting the shit with each other and talking about different theories. I've changed my opinion like 3 times in this episode about different things. And
Same.
so, and I'm sure I'll change them again before I get there, but we just wanted to kind of do a fun episode talking about kind of what we think and why we think it. We will have more theories as we go into like ACOTAR and we really start to break down the books in a way that we maybe even haven't before. I've read all the books multiple times, but every time I read, I swear to God, I catch something else. Like I said, I'm reading Silver Flames right now, and I just the things that I've caught that I did not catch the first time or the second time I was like looking through it is just it's
Yeah,
blowing my
I
mind.
wasn't
So
paying attention to the actual storyline in Silver Flames. I was there for the headboard moment, but
yeah. No, literally. I think and I'm sure this is the case for a lot of readers, but I feel like the first time I read any book, I'm reading it for the vibes, for the feelings, for the emotions, for the actual storyline and a lot of the characters. And then the second time I'm reading it to be like, okay, what the hell is going to happen? What are the things that I didn't pick up on? What are the little details that are going to matter later? So, and it only gets more and more in depth every single time. And looking at these books with like a different lens on as I'm trying to, you know, learn about them to talk with you about and talk with like the community about. It's just, I don't know, it's just so different and such a great experience. So I can't wait till our next like crazy theories video.
I can't wait. And I will
Literally.
say, if y'all have anything to add to our theories, please email us
Yeah.
because we don't know. Like, we obviously don't know what's going on, but I love hearing about different theories. And
Yeah.
yeah,
I was gonna say, feel free to drop them in the comments. If you guys hear something in this video that you're like, oh, either really, I agree with that, I think you're onto something, or I don't agree with that, this is why. Drop it in the comments. Let us know. We look at them,
Yeah,
we
we'll
read them.
probably like make a whole video about it.
And
Like,
respond, yeah, for
yeah.
sure. And we're gonna have different little bonus episodes and stuff where we address some of the things that you guys send us. So,
Yeah, I definitely want to do like a crack theories episode from the listeners. I think that would be really fun.
yeah. So send them over, guys. Like, this is exciting for us. This is so fun. I don't know if you could tell, but we just like we go off the deep end. Like, we start talking about one thing and then just like go all the way left.
Yeah.
So,
And
like.
even I will say we have been pretty tame during
Yeah,
this
this is.
episode. We have been not screaming. I haven't like sometimes when I feel like I figure something out, I like walk away for a minute.
Yeah, I think the
I
only
haven't done
reason
that.
is because I've like thought about a lot of these theories already. So I kind of already had these in my head, but let something that I didn't think about come into the conversation and I'll get out of this chair.
No, save. This is just fun. So we will not be having an episode coming out January 30th because of House of Flame and Shadow being that date as well. Everyone's going to be too busy reading. There's really no point of doing an episode. We're going to be reading. But with that being said, after this episode, our next episode is going to be our Crescent City 3 reaction. Okay, I am so goddamn excited for this. We're probably going to be freaking out. We're probably gonna cry at some point. We're gonna be just kind of talking about what happened in Crescent City 3. I believe we're gonna try to have that out as soon as we can of that week. It'll probably be out either that Friday or Saturday. We're gonna do our best to read
Yeah.
as fast as we can. We aren't doing shit except reading.
I'm pretty sure I'm gonna have the book finished within 2 days, but I
Me
don't know. We'll
too.
see. So we really are gonna try. I will say that I think the setup that I'm kind of thinking for that episode is maybe the first 15 to 20 minutes being our initial reactions without spoilers. And
Okay.
then after that, all bets are off.
Like,
I'm happy you
leave.
guys enjoyed our reactions, but now we're about to talk about some shit that went down. So, and then I'm sure eventually we will be doing like a deeper dive into probably all three of the books, because even though we're deep into the first two books after our recap videos, I feel like we should do video where there's a lot more where we talk about the foreshadowing and stuff, not just about the events that happen. So
me too.
Keep an eye out for that. We are definitely going to be hitting Crescent City again, especially after the third book comes out. But the next series that we're going to start on is ACOTAR. We just feel it's such a good place to start. It's the book that got me into the Massverse.
Me too.
It's the book that got me back into reading after so many years. It just captured my heart in a different way. So I'm so excited for us to do that. And we're going to do that in a little bit more of a smaller breakdown, I should say, than what we did for the first two.
We won't be Crescent doing like City a books. whole book per episode. We only did the whole book of Crescent City 1 and 2 in order to prepare ourselves and y'all for House of Flame and Shadow, but it was a lot.
Y'all, I just want to say, please, if you watched that video and you're listening to this, just drop a comment if it helped you at all, or if you when I tell you the amount of time and energy I spent on the end of trying to figure out what was going on in House of Sky and Breath, it was a lot. And I will say the good thing about it is I feel so prepared to go into Crescent City 3 knowing exactly what the hell is going on. So I just really hope that it was the same for y'all. So if you could let me know, I just really appreciate that. Thanks, y'all.
And also, we will be launching a Patreon soon. We're going to be having bonus episodes just about Sarah J. Maas first, and we would love for y'all to join that. Also, please share us with your book friends if you think they would like this podcast, or if you have a friend that might be needing a refresh on what has happened. Please share us. It really helps us. We really, really love y'all. And yeah,
I just want to say we're like so thankful for you guys, for the people that have been supporting us so far, for the ones that are going to come and support us later. We're happy to have you guys here. And like she said, pass it along if you know anybody who loves these books as much as us. And I've seen a lot of comments online about people that love these books, but they don't have friends that read these books. And so they like want people to talk to about it. Let us be those people.
Yes, I'll be your friend. We got you.
Literally email us, comment, let us know. We're on TikTok, Instagram, follow us there, join the conversation. It's just a really good time. And then we wanted to leave you guys on a quote, like always. So from Crescent City, House of Earth and Blood, I wanted to say, that's the point of it. Of life, to live, to love, knowing that it might all vanish tomorrow. It makes everything that much more precious. All right, you guys. Bye. See you next time.